She came when it was dark. She came when it was dark. John chapter 20, look with me at verse 1. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. And I really want to emphasize those words. She came when it was yet dark unto the grave, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, from the tomb. Look with me at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the grave, at the tomb, weeping, and she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself aback and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask, Father, I really sense that you want to speak something into the hearts of your people today. And Lord, there are just people here that you want to resurrect promises in their heart. You, one more time, things that you may have spoken in our hearts some time ago, Lord, you just want to resurrect them, resurrect the hope in our hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help me, God. Help me not to mess this sermon up. God, we love you and we thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 1 tells us that Mary Magdalene came to Jesus' tomb when it was still dark. That there was a pressing in her heart. She couldn't wait until the morning light. There was such a pressing in her heart to go and just anoint the body of the one that she was so in love with, that she had so loved. So she probably lit a torch. She probably lit a candle. And she started her journey to the tomb. And let me just get to the very heart of the word this morning. Beloved, this darkness represents those times in our life when the promises of God just seem to be cloaked behind darkness. This darkness represents those times in our life when the promises of God just seem to be buried behind a bleak darkness. That God has come and He's made promises to our heart. And when He came with those promises, there was such light. There was such life. But now when we look at the promises, they're hard to see. They're even harder to believe because there just seems to be a darkness that's come upon the promises of the Lord. And when I think about Mary, I think about disappointment. All of her hopes were in Christ. Her future was in Christ. You know, how she loved Him and how all her hopes and desires were in Him. And suddenly, He dies on the cross, and they take His dead body, and they lay Him in a tomb. And just how much grief and how much disappointment was in her heart, how the future must have looked so bleak. There had to be times, Lord, how am I going to get through the coming days? I mean, You were my whole life. My whole desires were in You. And my whole future was in You, and now Your body lays dead behind a tomb. And just the grief and the disappointment that was in her heart. And maybe God has spoken promises regarding our own life. Something He wants to perform in our life. Maybe there are barren places that He has promised life, or there's captivated places where He has promised to bring freedom. Or maybe He has spoken promises regarding people we love, like our children. For instance, He spoke something to us regarding what He wants to do in the lives of our children. But yet another year has gone, and when we look at the place where our children are at, there's just a sense of disappointment in our heart. But, beloved, here is the very heart of the message. This is what the Lord wants to say this morning. Even though all looks dark, there's still an empty tomb that declares Jesus as victor. Even though all looks dark, there's still an empty tomb that declares Jesus is the Lord of the impossible. Even though all looks dark, there's still an empty tomb that declares all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. If the empty tomb declares anything, it declares that Jesus has triumphed over all hopelessness. If He has promised to bring life in the places of barrenness, if He has promised to bring freedom in the places of captivity, the empty tomb is a declaration that declares with God nothing is impossible. What He has promised, He is more than able to perform. Listen, if Christ can triumph over death and the grave, He can triumph over everything in our lives. That's what the tomb tells us. It may look like the promises are clouded in darkness. It may look like you're taking a trip to the tomb, but your journey is filled with darkness. But if the tomb declares anything, even in the midst of the darkness, if He can triumph over death, He can triumph over anything in our lives. Now I want us to notice something. Look with me at verse 1 again. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the tomb, and seeth the stone was taken away from the tomb. So I want you to notice when she finally gets to the tomb, the stone has already been rolled away. And beloved, understand, the stone represents obstacles that look so immovable. You know, I know when Mary was on her way to the tomb, this had to be something that was on her mind. She was going to the tomb for a reason, and that was to go into the tomb and anoint the dead body of Christ. So she had to have this thought in her mind, when I get to the tomb, how am I going to roll the stone away? When I get to the tomb, who's going to help me roll the stone away? That stone represents obstacles that seem immovable. And sometimes we can be so despairing when we think about the obstacles that stand between us and the promise. But Christ is telling us that He is more than able to roll away the obstacles. We just have to continue to wait in hope and in faith. He's more than able to remove those obstacles that seem to stand between us and the promise. And beloved, understand, any time He can send the power of His word and penetrate those obstacles. You know what I love about this story? When Mary finally gets around to looking into the tomb, she sees two angels. And what I love about that is the word angel, it's a word that literally means a messenger. In other words, the ministry of an angel was simply to bring to someone's heart the word of God. And what I love about this story is simply this. Listen, anytime in those waiting times that we have with God, waiting for those promises, anytime the word of God can come into our tombs and resurrect those places of death. Anytime that word can come and penetrate those places that seem so sealed and confined and so imprisoned, can penetrate those places and resurrect those places of death. And I really want us to look at the picture. The Bible says one angel is where Jesus' head lay, the other is where His feet lay. And when you really look at it, it's such a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, where two angelic beings at each end of the Ark were looking down upon the mercy seat. And what a picture those two angels are, one at His head and one at His feet. In other words, it speaks a great truth to us, and what it says is this. Seeing Christ's power to bring life and freedom into our places of captivity and death isn't dependent upon our merit or our efforts. It comes out of His mercy. It is simply because He loves us and His mercy towards us is as high as the heavens. Oh, so often when we fail the Lord, we slip into that place where, oh, I just feel so undeserving of His faithfulness. I just feel so undeserving of His goodness. And sometimes in those places when we fail the Lord, we feel like the Lord is frowning up down upon us in His disappointment, and He's changed His mind about what He wants to do in our life. But this morning the Lord is saying, my power moving in your life isn't based upon your perfect performance, but it's based upon my mercy. Amen. Now here is where I really believe the Holy Spirit is calling each one of us to participate in the service today. See, we're going to go into a time of prayer where we're going to minister to one another and pray for one another. And I really believe this is where I sense that leading in my heart. I want you to look with me at verse 14. I'm going to read through verse 16. Verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposing him to be the gardener. Now capture that. She supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Listen, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, He came out of the tomb looking like the gardener. Capture that. Now, I know that goes so far against the picture that we like to think of when we think about that glorious resurrection moment. You know, when we think about that picture of His resurrection, we think about how grand and how majestic that moment was. We think about how, you know, the heavens suddenly open and this glorious light shines down from heaven. And Jesus steps out of the tomb in all of His triumphant majesty. You know, I've seen movies like that. Every movie I've seen on the life of Christ, they make that resurrection moment suddenly, when suddenly there's just a supernatural change in the air and the heavens open and there's a glorious light that just flows down upon the tomb, and suddenly Jesus stands there in all His majesty and glory. I even think about the first Narnia movie. When Aslan is finally resurrected from the dead, the stone table breaks. And the two girls are looking up, and suddenly there's the majestic lion in all of His glory and majesty. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. Didn't happen that way. When He stepped out of the tomb, He looked like the gardener. And this is what I wanted you to capture. He appeared to Mary in this state. In other words, here's what I want you to capture. The supernatural appeared in the natural, appeared natural. In other words, when He appeared to Mary and she thought He was the gardener, suddenly that which was supernatural appeared very natural. And when I think about that, I can't help but think about the body of Christ. You know, everything about us is supernatural. We are in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are the very dwelling place of God. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Everything about us is supernatural, yet we appear so natural in a natural world. Amen. And here's the thought that's on my heart. Talk to the maintenance men. Listen. Jesus could have just as easily appeared out of the tomb as a maintenance man. People that work in the kitchen, Jesus could have just as easily appeared as a chef. Brother Nick, Jesus could have just as easily appeared as a Summit Bible teacher. He could have just as easily appeared as a coal miner. He could have just as easily appeared as a little grandmother that had made many a biscuits. In other words, he could have appeared like unto so many people who make up the body of Christ. And when Jesus appeared looking like a gardener, I believe he was making a great statement to his church. This is what he was saying. I have people all over the world who do so many different things. Some are farmers, some are coal miners, some are lawyers, some are doctors, some stock shelves at Walmart, and some run a cash register at Burger King. But my supernatural life is in them, and they are able to minister to others whenever I call upon them. My presence in their lives equips them to minister in anointing and in power when I call upon them to minister to others. They can be gardeners, they can be farmers, they can be coal miners, they can be lumberjacks, they can be doctors, they can be bankers, they can be lawyers, but when I call upon them, there is a life in them that's able to minister. And I believe with all my heart, today, the Lord wants to use this body to minister. See, when Jesus stepped out of the tomb as a gardener, I picture him as the body of Christ. His body on the earth. We can be lawyers and doctors and Burger King cash registered ringers. But there's a supernatural life in us that has power to minister life and power and anointing when people need ministering to. And I believe this morning God wants to use you. And he wants to use me to minister. So we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to have each one of you just pair up with somebody. And our prayer is going to be something like this. God, would you renew strength where strength is needed? Would you renew hope where hope is needed? God, would you resurrect those promises that seem to be so cloaked in darkness? Would you remind them again that though it may appear dark, there is an empty tomb that declares Jesus as victor? And if he can triumph over death and the grave, he can keep every promise he has ever made. I believe the Lord just wants us to minister to each other, to pray for each other. And while we pray, what we're going to do is I'm going to have someone come and play the piano. And we're not in a rush to do this. If the person you're going to pray with, if you just want to sit and let the music minister to your hearts, if you just want to sit in a place of worship for a moment and just worship in your heart with the music and then begin to pray for one another, do that. We're not here to rush into a prayer meeting this morning and just get done. We're here to allow the anointing to come upon our mind, to come upon our heart as we sit in his presence and worship. And then just pray for one another and minister to one another. You may be a gardener or maintenance man, a administrator or a teacher. There's a life in us this morning that God wants to use to minister. So would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for the testimony of that empty tomb, God. Help us to grasp what it means to each one of our lives. Help us to grasp what the empty tomb means to each one of our lives. Jesus, if you can triumph over death, if you can triumph over the grave, you can triumph over anything that's in our lives, Lord. And God, I just want to pray, Lord. I want to pray for those that are discouraged. I just feel in my heart, God, that there are people that came in this morning and they just feel like, Lord, that they've fallen into a place of failure. But God, they love you. They have a heart for you. It's not that they're apathetic. It's not that they're indifferent. They love you, God, and their desire is to serve you and grow in you. But they just feel like they're in such a place of failure. God, help them. Help them to understand that, God, your power moving in their life isn't based upon their perfect performance, but it is based upon the mercy of God. Lord, that angel was at your head and that angel was at your feet. What a perfect picture of that ark where those angelic beings were just looking down upon the mercy seat, God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. God, if you was to count transgression, who would stand in your sight? But we thank you, Lord, that you bathe us in mercy.